So let's talk a bit then about network types. And you might not have thought about this, that there are many types of networks. There are, and I'm going to outline a few here and sort of and give an example of what they might look like. The first kind of service delivery, and this may be predominantly what PCNs are, service delivery, but there are other elements that will be brought into that dominant mode. This is where typically governments fund through contracts. There's some kind of joint production of services. You're working together to produce those services in a coordinated, collaborative kind of way. The idea is to integrate the services, much like you're trying to do with PCNs. And again, collaboration is very key. One of the best examples is the Southern Alberta Child and Youth Health Network. And you'll see it had a lifespan here of 8 years. Janice Pope, one of the key authors in that literature I referred to earlier, was the director who did just an absolutely marvelous job of doing all of the right things to create a wonderful network that was evaluated with excellent results, only to be killed because of a political decision at the time Alberta was undergoing reform. And this concerned a lot of children and youth activities and organizations in entire southern Alberta. So a very unfortunate thing, but just also a lesson that even though everything is going right in networks sometimes, and evaluation can prove it in scientific terms, they can still go terribly wrong because of political decisions. But I was very sort of pleased to hear that yesterday that there was no thought of dissolving any of the work being done from the political perspective from the ministry. So that was a very good sign. And some of these networks are voluntary mandated. Now, I'm not sure what category PCNs fall into, probably more than mandated one, but with voluntary timelines, would that be a fair way to put it? There's very little research out there that sort of measures the difference between success for voluntary mandated networks as well. So there's a lot of work to be done there. Another network is clinical, and you're probably largely clinical networks as well. These are typically more voluntary, but don't have to be. They could be mandated, multidisciplinary, driven mostly by clinicians and what their needs are for the people that they serve. Again, highly collaborative, needs to involve different organizations and are based very much on needs, local needs. And importantly, work towards system-wide improvements and innovation. And a good example of that is and maybe some of you are members of this, if you're physicians that work in emergency departments, the BC Emergency Medicine Network. I've been privileged to work with them for the past couple of years and conduct some evaluation work, and it's a good example of a high-functioning network at this point in time. It was only launched in September 2017, so it's early, still too early to call it a high-functioning network because it's still undergoing a very early sort of birthing and growing period. But the idea there is that it brings together 108 emergency departments in the province through the physicians, about 1,400 who work there. But the concept is, rather than have 108 different emergency departments with 1,400 physicians, let's have one emergency department with 108 rooms in it. So that's the concept, and it's a very good working concept. It has about four programs, clinical resource tools, innovation research, continuing professional development, including simulation training and real-time support. Child Health BC is another one. It's not called a network in its name, but in fact it builds itself as a network, and maybe a lot of you have had work with them. I don't know a lot about them recently. I do know that they were successful in achieving about $50 million worth of funding a few years ago, which should give them a good leg up for success. But it's another example of, a good network in the clinical, more in the clinical area. Another kind of network is information sharing, knowledge mobilization, which again I would suggest that you'll be doing. It's often used in high uncertainty problems, disaster preparedness, but the whole idea is to share information, share knowledge, and communicate. A good example of that might be the BC Emergency Management System, which is province-wide. I don't know much about it. To me, it seems like it's a pretty good working kind of network focused mostly on emergency management, but again, getting at the basic tenets of this kind of structure of information sharing. Another one is capacity building, where you focus more on building social capital, community-based, community-focused, more of a bottom-up approach as opposed to a top-down approach, and again, has a broad range of organizations and sub-networks to help establish that change. And maybe a good example of that is the BC Healthy Living Alliance, which is more of an advocacy group. That's about 28 organizations, and they come together to improve basically the health of British Columbians. I haven't seen any evaluation of them either, but from what I see and read about them, hear about them, I would consider them a pretty high-functioning network type. The message, though, here in all of this is not which one you fall into, but that form follows function. You need to know what you're doing so that you can construct the network accordingly. And I just love this quote, and this is from an architect in the 1800s, whether it be the sweeping eagle in its flight or the open apple blossom, the toiling workhorse, the blithe swan, the branching oak, the winding stream in its base, the drifting clouds over all the coursing sun, form ever follows function, and this is the law. Well, it's the natural law, but it could also be our social construct law in networks where form must follow function. And that is why it's important at the outset to have a well-established vision, not just a vision statement, but a vision that people can subscribe to, understand, and work towards together, collaboratively. And following that is a mission, you know, what you have to do to get to the vision, and then the goals and the objectives. So very specific. Together, those are the function, the form of the network can then follow. And again, those work in natural systems. We need to learn more from them and apply what we can learn from them to social constructs. Now, Dr. Tamina Ali from the White Rock South Surrey division has kindly agreed to share a bit of her on-the-ground experience and maybe capture some of the points around different types of network structures. So, Dr. Ali. Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity to chat about some of the stuff we're doing in White Rock, South Surrey. I think the service delivery part is something that we're hoping that the PCN will address, but I think with the clinical part, we achieved a lot of these networks through our Child and Youth Local Action Team. Clinically, I think one of the examples that comes to mind is our triage team, so basically a multidisciplinary group that meets twice a month, so school teachers, MCFD, Child and Youth Mental Health, myself, or a child psychiatrist. We all meet together on a table to discuss about students who are struggling, and that's worked really well and has been an issue, and hopefully it's going to be something that's going to be shared across systems. Sharing knowledge mobilization network, another example would be our ability to be quite nimble and create public seminars for urgent issues. For example, there were some suicides in the community, and so we had a suicide prevention awareness presentation that we were able to whip up within a couple of weeks. But because we had that network and that cross-collaboration already set, it was much easier to be nimble. And finally, capacity building. I think despite the fact that the funding has ended, we're continuing to work on that in regards to ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And it's really a bottom-up approach in regards to community and cross-collaboration between multi-sectors on how can we work on small projects in our community to change things.
Great. Thank you for that. A good example of your network and how multifunctional it is, and I think yours will be as well. So the takeaways from that are networks are typically multifunctional, form follows function, and it's important to have a common vision, mission, goals, and objectives, and that they are understood by all, not just words on a piece of paper, as is often the case in organizations, unfortunately.